I'm attorney Glenn Lerner. Some people don't want to hire a lawyer after a car wreck because they feel sorry for the person who hit them. They think the at-fault driver will be the one who actually has to pay.
I'm Kevin Rowe, and the truth is, in most cases we handle, the insurance company pays for the at-fault driver's lawyers, court costs, settlement, or verdict. The at-fault driver doesn't pay anything. In court, the jury is never allowed to hear this. Hurt in a wreck? Need a check? Call Lerner and Rowe.
Lerner and Rowe is the way to go. Call 877-1500.
Scott Guido, managing attorney. Kevin Rowe is only licensed in Arizona, New Mexico, Oregon, Washington, and Illinois.
Take a listen to your speakers.
Over here.
And over here. Unimpressive, right?
Imagine having 17 speakers powered by 710 watts all around you, even in the ceiling. Better? We think so. The all-new Acura TLX with the available ELS Studio 3D Premium Audio System. Acura. Less talk, more drive.
View our extensive inventory of Acuras at Findlay Acura in the Valley Auto Mall or online at FindlayAcura.com.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said Monday he expects Americans will start receiving their second stimulus payments next week. More from correspondent Bernie Bennett.
Lawmakers in the White House reached an agreement on a $900 billion coronavirus relief package on Sunday that includes direct payments of up to $600 for adults and children. Congress still needs to vote on the bill, whose text has not yet been released as of Monday morning, and President Trump still needs to sign it. The payments in the bill will be the second round of direct payments that Congress has provided to help people cover expenses during the coronavirus pandemic. Mnuchin called direct payments a very, very fast way of getting money into the economy. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
With the coronavirus still raging out of control, a new poll shows Americans are less festive this year.
According to the poll by the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, Americans are feeling a little sadder, lonelier, and less grateful than last year. Just 22% say they feel very or extremely festive this year, down from 49% last year. About 4 in 10 are still very worried about COVID-19. And roughly 3 out of 4 are at least somewhat concerned that they or a relative will become infected. The poll also finds only about half of Americans are ready to get vaccinated immediately. Mike Hemp in Washington.
Vice President-elect Kamala Harris and Ivanka Trump have both come to Georgia to stump for opposite candidates in a runoff election that will determine control of the U.S. Senate. Stumping in Columbus on Monday, Harris stressed the need to choose Democratic candidates who will advance President-elect Joe Biden's agenda. In Milton, Georgia, meanwhile, Ivanka Trump warned that failing to re-elect the Republican incumbents could erode her father's legislative achievements. On Wall Street, the Dow by 37 points, but the Nasdaq dropped 13. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It's time for Coach's Corner, sponsored by Merrill Edge, self-directed. The 2006 George Mason Patriots became only the second double-digit seed to ever reach an NCAA Final Four. They defeated Michigan State in the first round, but were down 16-2 in the early minutes against North Carolina in the second round. After Coach Jim Larrañaga's early timeout, George Mason would go on to outscore the Tar Heels by 19 the rest of the contest. The Patriots beat Wichita State in the Sweet 16 and Connecticut in the Elite Eight.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Buonasera.
Buonasera.
How can I make the most of waiting for my next big vacation?
Translate your questions into goals by investing with Merrill Edge Self-Directed. It's more accessible than you think, with helpful planning tools plus free online stock and ETF trades, so you can keep practicing your pronunciation. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/withinreach to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner & Smith Incorporated. Registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Other fees may apply. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
I hate Christmas shopping, dealing with surly clerks, crowded brick-and-mortar stores, and how do you make sure you purchase just the right gift? Hey, Kevin Wall here. That's where my friends at Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn come in. You can send friends and family delicious Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn in one of 19 flavors. If you own a business, Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn can put your brand on every bag. It's a great icebreaker for businesses that rely on sales and marketing. I mean, everybody loves popcorn. Just in time for the holidays, send a great-tasting gift to friends, family, and business associates. Personalize your gift with a family picture or corporate logo right on the bag. And get this, take 20% off your purchase by using the promo code KevinWall2020. That's the promo code KevinWall2020. Order right now at sendpopcorngifts.com. That's sendpopcorngifts.com. Check out Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn.
It's 3:04. This KMCQ News Flash is powered by Mr. Law, your authority for divorce, personal injury, and probate. I'm Jim Dallas. House and Senate negotiators have agreed on a $900 billion coronavirus relief package and could vote as early as today to get relief to Americans dealing with the pandemic and its economic impact, which has put millions out of work. The package includes $600 relief checks for individuals, $300 more per week for unemployment benefit, and more than $280 billion for small businesses, which have been decimated by COVID-19 restrictions and closures for this year. Nevada Senator Catherine Cortez Masto tells the Review Journal no matter what is passed in the current measure, it is merely a down payment on more federal help that Congress and the incoming administration must put together for early next year. COVID-19 claims another victim as a laundry and linen business, which serves Las Vegas hotels and resorts, has been closed. It's closed one of its plants. The Brady Linen Services has filed paperwork with the state, announcing plans to close its Four Master Lane plant and lay off about 150 people. Caesars Entertainment's last closed property near the Las Vegas Strip is about to reopen. The Rio will reopen tomorrow for weekend stays only. That's Thursdays through Mondays.
KACQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
A quick check of the traffic cams right now. Moderate flows as you work your way through the resort corridor of Interstate 15 between Tropicana and the 95 interchange. Also, 24/7 lane restrictions, 15 northbound. That's at Lamb Boulevard. The bridge construction continues until next year.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local. Christmas season is here. Nobody's more excited about that than I am. Joining us now, a guy that has been with us week in, week out, through the good times, the bad times this year, Victor Jakes, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and he joins us. Victor, Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas to you too, Kevin.
Just out of curiosity, how are you guys spending the Christmas holiday?
Yeah, we've got some. My sister and her family are coming, and we're excited to see them.
Outstanding. And then, are you taking some time off? I think you're not going to be with us next Monday, right?
I am. That's true. I'm taking most of the next couple weeks off.
So. Oh, good for you, man. Good for you. I loved your column today, King Steve Sisolak's Blame Game, and you are highly critical of the governor slash king. Talk about what your beef is with this sitting governor.
Well, if you followed his press conferences, you'll kind of, you know, there'll come a point at the end of his prepared remarks where he will basically blame Nevadans for the spread of the coronavirus. You know, he'll say, you know, most people are doing a good job of following my directives, but there are people out there, and if we just all would follow the directives, basically the coronavirus would go away. And in his remarks two Sundays ago, he really took this to a whole nother level and basically implied that, you know, if coronavirus keeps spreading, it's because we don't love our neighbors. and we don't care about the poor people among us. And that led me to ask, or want to ask at least, well, Governor King Sisolak, when you got the coronavirus, was it because you didn't love your neighbor, or was it because you didn't care about poor people?
Tell me. That's great.
It's just disgusting because it's a highly contagious disease. We've been following his restrictions for 9 months, and his plan hasn't worked. And instead of being honest and saying, I don't know what to do here, guys, here's the information, make the best judgment you can, he can't admit that his plan failed, that all the power he accumulated has been, you know, misused and mismanaged and did not do what he promised. So he's blaming you. He's blaming us. He's blaming us for the spread of a highly contagious disease.
Did I misread this, or are numbers starting to come down?
Yeah, that's what's so funny about it is, you know, right before Thanksgiving, he said, oh, we got to do this 3-week pause because the numbers are spiking. And, you know, we know people are going to get together for Thanksgiving. And so 2.5 weeks after Thanksgiving, he comes and he gives this address and says, well, the numbers are starting to show this massive spike, and so we've got to extend the pause for another month. And then the numbers started dropping and dropping. And basically, we're like 12 days into a down, on the downslope of new cases. And I think what we're seeing, and if you look at other states around Nevada, basically they've all followed a pattern, you know, around the early September. Cases all started going up, some a little bit sooner, some a little bit later. They went up for, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, and then they started coming down. Well, maybe even a little longer than that, you know, maybe 2 to 3 months. But that's what seems to have happened in Nevada. And, you know, Governor Sisolak's restrictions are great at killing the economy, but they don't seem to have done much to change the fact that our curve looks really close to Arizona's curve and really close to Utah's curve. And California started later than everybody, and their curve is shooting up despite the fact that they've got all these massive restrictions. And so I think this is the, you know, one of the great falsehoods is that government has some great control over this. It doesn't.
Let me just ask you, though, and again, Victor Jakes joining us, the 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Where does the governor get this stuff? I don't think he is bright enough to be coming up with a lot of this stuff on his own. Who are the people that are advising him, and where is he getting this blame game thing from?
Well, I mean, just on the virus, I mean, there's people in state government who track this, whose job it is to, you know, make projections like this. They've not been doing a particularly good job, which, you know, is understandable given the fact that it's the new virus. But, you know, the tone of his speeches, I mean, that's all of his, you know, his communications director, I would assume, his chief of staff, I definitely would assume. And so I think there's kind of two separate things. There's, you know, what are your science people telling you? And then what do you do from a political level in terms of messaging it? And the message has been clear from the very, very start. You know, it's your fault. It's not his fault. You know, he's the one who's taken all this power under the guise of stopping the spread of the coronavirus, and even though his plans have failed for 9 months straight, it's your fault. It's your fault that this highly contagious disease is spreading around Nevada, even though it's spreading around the entire thinking world. I mean, it's just, it really just is an appalling display, you know, both, you know, as a political leader, but then just as a person to turn around and say to the people whose lives you've devastated through your lockdowns, oh, it's your fault that this is spreading. No, it just stinks. It's just a horrible event that's happening around the world, and it's not anyone's fault except for maybe some folks in, you know, the Chinese Communist Party's fault that this is spreading. But the rest of us are just dealing with the consequences of it the best we can.
Well, and what I hated about the tone of his speech a Sunday ago was the notion that we were in essence at fault. When it's really the virus that's at fault, but the guy that's actually closed businesses down is the governor. The governor is the one that beginning on March 17th on St. Paddy's Day, started closing our economy down. He did it. Not the virus, not anything else. It was the governor that had a lot of different choices, but chose on March 17th to essentially shut us down.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, he's the one where we can clearly say, you know, someone did something and something happened. Well, You know what happened is when he shut the economy down for 3 months, that devastated a lot of people. And look, for the first 2 weeks, month, I'll cut him some slack. It's a new virus. You know, everyone was concerned. We didn't quite know. But after that, yeah, we did know. We did know who was vulnerable. The elderly were vulnerable. And very rarely has Sisolak gotten up there and told people about their risk level by age group. And that's what you should be doing the start of the press conference. If you are 75, if you are 80, you are highly at risk. Here are the numbers to show it. And let people understand what their specific risk level is, and then let them have the freedom, which we're supposed to have in this, you know, free country, to go out and make their own decisions. That certainly, I don't think, would have done any worse virus-wise than what he's done. In fact, I think it could have done a lot better, because you would have, you know, targeted the people who are really at risk and said, look, you've got to take some steps to protect yourself. And it certainly would have been better for the economy.
Let me ask you, the two vaccines are out, the Pfizer and the Moderna. Are they going to be a game changer?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, all the evidence suggests that they are highly effective. They obviously rolled it out to the medical workers, which I think was good. They're starting on the nursing homes. You know, I do quibble a little bit about the next round of people who get it. I think it should be people who are elderly. I think it should be done by age. There's no reason for a 25-year-old teacher to be getting it before someone who's 83. The 83-year-old is at a much, much, much higher risk level. And in fact, we should be, you know, encouraging people over 75 to get the vaccine and prioritizing them, because they're the ones who are at the greatest risk. And I just think it's such a tragedy, that, you know, even though for months we've known this, there's been so little education about, here's your risk, and it's not the same. If you are over 75, your risk is so much greater than someone who is under 50. I mean, it's just scales differently, and then those people should be acting in different ways.
Yet, the people that are most directly affected, people of color, for instance, are reluctant to take this vaccine. And I'm just curious why. Do you have any feel for that?
I think, you know, a couple of things have happened. It became very politicized, which is pretty incredible. I mean, Trump said, oh, we're going to have a vaccine by the end of the year. And the media said, oh, this is impossible. It would take a miracle. He'd say, oh, we're going to have a vaccine before Election Day. And the media said, no, this is, you know, he's just trying to boost his reelection chances. Turns out that, you know, if there hadn't been, some gamesmanship by people in the federal government, we would have had the announcement of a vaccine, or could have had the announcement of a vaccine by Election Day. And so when you've been, you know, told, the people that you trust on the left side of the aisle are saying, look, this is just Trump playing games to get reelected, that leaves a mark. You know, it makes you think, well, you know, you've just spent 6 months telling me that this is basically Trump's reelection ploy. Now I'm not going to put it in my arm. And so it's just, you know, it's just so funny that Democrats think they can just politicize this, and then all of a sudden after the election say, oh, no, totally good. You know, time to go get the vaccine.
By the way, speaking of the vaccine, the president-elect Biden has received the vaccine in a public show of support. And I'm just curious, in marketing to the African-American community and other people of color, should we get NFL players involved or NBA players to let people in the African-American community know that this thing, there's nothing to fear from this vaccine?
You know, I'm not opposed to that in principle, if that's something that you know, really needs to happen, because there's a population that's really reluctant. But, you know, I think if we start prioritizing it by age, I think, you know, people will take it. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but, you know, I'm not worried about the 25-year-old who thinks, well, I don't really want to get this. You know, it's and the fact that we have a shortage of, you know, of supply right now makes me actually less concerned. I think there's going to be wide-scale acceptance of it by age range, as it should be. I mean, look, if you're 25, I don't think it makes sense for you to get the vaccine. You know, I'm under 40. I don't think it makes sense for me to get the vaccine. But, you know, if I was 75, I would be right there. If I was 85, I mean, I'd be waiting in line like somebody, you know, outside of Best Buy for Black Friday, because the odds are just so different. The you know, And so I just think you look at the data, and the answer becomes so clear. And we have lots of data now that we didn't have 9 months ago.
More with Victor Jakes, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Stick around. More to do. It is a busy, busy day, and talking about the issues of the day right here on AM 670 KMZQ.
Breaking news, newsmakers, and political heavy hitters, all before the sun comes up. The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
For over 30 years, Ichabod's Lounge has provided incredible food, gaming, and nightly entertainment. Hey, Kevin Wall here. They've been here to serve you through good times and bad. Now, a lot of Vegas restaurants have been forced to close due to the governor's latest restrictions. But Francois and his amazing staff at Ichabod's Lounge aren't going anywhere, regardless of what may lie ahead for us. And at Ichabod's Lounge, your safety is their number one priority. So you'll see bartenders and servers wiping down services again and again. Even in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, Ichabod's is ready to serve you. But they know that some of you are reluctant to get out, and they get it. That's why Ichabod's Lounge features their incredible menu for both dine-in and carry-out. Call 702-451-2323. 702-451-2323. Ichabod's Lounge, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere and one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas. Ichabod's Lounge, open 24-7. Vintage Vegas dining, gaming lounge, and piano bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Layoffs, forced early retirement, more of a reality in 2020, and it's hitting close to home. It's time to take control and stay on your retirement trajectory. Shore up your strategies with a written retirement plan, a financial roadmap from Coach Pete and the team. This is a limited time offer for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation. Call 800-661-7383, 800-661-7383, or text COACH to 21000, COACH to 21000. The first 10 callers will receive a copy of Coach Pete's book, 7 Baby Steps to a Ridiculously Reliable Retirement Income.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Psychery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Psychery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasPsychery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
Hey, it's Pat Casal with the MultiCare Group. Open enrollment time is here. Anyone who needs individual or family coverage should give the MultiCare Group a call at 702-396-9449. That's 396-9449. Lots of changes this year as we add two new carriers. In addition, we've extended open enrollment until January 15th. Whether you want to enroll with the Silver State Exchange or direct with a carrier, the MultiCare Group can help. All the plans we offer are qualified health plans. They'll provide you with free annual exams, telemedical exams, and the best networks in the valley. The MultiCare Group will tailor our plan to fit your family's budget. Our services are no cost to our clients. All you pay is the premiums the carriers charge. The best part of working with the MultiCare Group is not when you buy the insurance, it's when you need the insurance the most. We're going to be with you every step of the way to make sure you maximize your health plans. So call 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449 and set up an appointment today. It could be live over the phone or you can come and meet us in person. Thanks again. We'll hope to hear from you soon.
Hey everybody, it's time for today's STEM tip. Want to know how to make your selfies even better? Okay, let's use science. The best time for photos is golden hour. That's the moment right before the sun sets, when the atmosphere scatters blue and violet wavelengths, making perfect, soft, and golden selfie light to show off that beautiful face of yours. Click. Check out Chic and STEM for more inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right. Well, way up
this cove. There's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told, and a real famous cat.
I love the Christmas season. Good to share it with my friend Victor Jakes, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And we've been talking a lot of politics, a lot of vaccine stuff. The Moderna vaccine has arrived in southern Nevada. Are you satisfied so far with the way the Sisolak administration has distributed the Pfizer vaccine?
Yeah, so far I think they've done the right thing. I mean, the healthcare workers, obviously a priority group because they're the ones providing healthcare. They're, more likely to be around someone who's sick with the coronavirus. And so I think that was the right decision. I think going to nursing homes, obviously the right case nationally. I think 39% of fatalities have been from nursing home patients, which is just that stat alone should change your perspective on the coronavirus. I think it's the next wave where it gets a little more sketchy. I mean, I think they're talking about essential workers, being like retail workers and teachers before they prioritize the elderly, either before or they're prioritized at the same time as. And I think that's a mistake. I mean, I think you've got to look at age as the defining characteristic when it comes to who gets the vaccine when there's a shortage.
So in other words, the folks who work in grocery stores, should they have been prioritized? Because they were.
I don't think they should have been. Unless they're older. I mean, because you look at the data for death, and it's just not even close. I mean, the number of people who are over 70 who have died. More people over 70 have died from coronavirus in Nevada than all other folks combined. And so you're not looking at, the 30-year-old, even the 55-year-old in a grocery store being anywhere at a greater risk as someone who's in their 80s.
Now that we've added Moderna to the Pfizer brand, is there any difference? I mean, there's not much of a difference, is there?
The effectiveness was pretty similar. I think the biggest difference is just that the Pfizer one had to be kept in really, really cold, and so there were some challenges with distribution. It came in packs, like boxes of almost 1,000, and so that was going to make it hard to distribute in rural areas. And I think the Moderna one, is a little easier to actually get out and distribute. So I'm very encouraged that it's here, and I think it's going to be a great thing.
Last week, the governor sent out a press release where he was critical of the Trump administration for the lack of clarity in how many doses are coming to Nevada, where they're coming to, that kind of thing. And I keep asking the question, why don't you just pick up the phone and call them and find out? I mean, rather than put out a nasty press release, why not just put in a call to the vice president or to Dr. Fauci? I mean, he's got all their numbers.
This is what happens when you're a governor and you staff yourself up with political people. They're always looking for the political angle. They're looking for, how do we blame this on Republicans? If you remember his speech two Sundays ago, he spent probably a third of the speech attacking Republicans for not passing another stimulus. And it's just like, my word, Nancy Pelosi has come out and said we didn't pass one before the election because we didn't want to help Trump. I mean, and then for you just to be there and be like, oh, it's the Republicans' fault. Why are they being so obstinate? Just so dishonest and just talk about politicizing, something that, when you're talking about the coronavirus should not be politicized. But we've seen that time and time again. We're going to find people who hold rallies for Trump, and we're going to praise people who rally in response to the killing of George Floyd. It's just that's what we've seen, and that's why people don't trust King Sisolak, and that's why he shouldn't have as much power as he does have.
What are you hearing, and I need about a 90-second answer, about his political future, talking about King Sisolak?
I've heard a lot of folks who really are convinced he's not going to run again. And I just don't buy it. I feel very confident that he's out there fundraising aggressively. I've heard that from several folks. And, you know, you have to do that just because if you went to the session as a lame duck, you'd be toasted. But, I mean, the reason you run for governor is to get